How Far Our First Freedom Has Fallen, an article by ARPA Canada. Do you know what the very first right or freedom granted in the Charter of Rights and Freedoms is? It's not freedom of speech, it's not the right to vote, it's not even the right to life. It's the freedom of conscience and religion. This highlights how important these freedoms are in a free and democratic society. This first freedom aligns with the biblical revelation that God gives every human being a conscience, an innate notion of right and wrong. Paul writes that all people know God's righteous decree. Unbelievers who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires. They are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness. Those verses are from Romans 1 and 2. And we've seen people articulating their conscientious beliefs throughout history. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego followed their conscience and appealed to an authority higher than the king. We have no need to answer you in this matter. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. That's from Daniel 3, verses 16 to 18. Several centuries later, Roman emperors demanded to be hailed as gods. In response, the early church father Tertullian stated, "Never will I call the emperor God, and that's either because it is not in me to be guilty of falsehood, or that I dare not turn him into ridicule, or that not even himself will desire to have that name applied to him." Because of his conscience, Tertullian could not state as true something he believed to be false. In the Middle Ages, Martin Luther stood before the Diet of Worms to defend his thesis against the Roman Catholic Church. He defended himself by saying, "My conscience is captive to the word of God. Thus I stand and will not recant, because acting against one's conscience is neither safe nor sound. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me." And during the World Wars, conscientious objectors refused to bear arms or participate in military service due to their moral objection to the use of lethal force. The issue intensified when the federal government conscripted soldiers to fight in both wars. The movie Hacksaw Ridge movingly recounts the story of one such conscientious objector. As we can see from these examples, freedom of conscience as a constitutional right is supposed to limit the power of the government by protecting people from being coerced into doing something that they think is wrong. It protects the integrity, the personal integrity of individuals, and limits the state at the same time. Today, conscience rights are most commonly invoked in the medical field. Preserving conscience rights in healthcare is the subject of one of ARPA's policy reports. One of our recommendations is that, recognizing that Canadians disagree on the morality or medical necessity or advisability of abortion, the use of opposite sex hormones or body modification surgeries, the federal government should make it a criminal offense to coerce any healthcare professionals to provide or participate in elective procedures for non-life-threatening conditions or illnesses. But how popular is that suggestion? Early in April, Research Co. released a poll on Canadians' views on freedom of conscience in healthcare. Unfortunately, this latest poll reveals that Canadians aren't all that enamored with conscience rights. Respondents were asked whether they agree or disagree with healthcare professionals having the ability to object to providing services in three situations. On euthanasia, support and opposition were effectively tied at 41 to 42%. On abortion, opposition to conscience rights exceeded support 48 to 38. The final question asks about moral faith-based objections to serving LGBTQ2 people. But this is very poor wording. No healthcare professional would refuse to serve people who identify as LGBTQ because they identify that way. And if a medical professional did so, they may be in legal trouble very fast and risk losing their license. And nor should a Christian medical professional do so. Every person is made in the image of God and deserving of equal treatment in every circumstance where personal characteristics are irrelevant. With a question so worded, many faithful Christians might strongly oppose faith-based objections. All healthcare professionals should help people with real medical needs, regardless of personal characteristics and identities, whether that be a woman who identifies as transgender in need of a hip surgery, a man who identifies as a gay person pursuing cancer treatment, or a Muslim patient needing stitches, or a black person giving birth. It is different, however, when the service sought itself is morally objectionable. For example, providing a sex-denying surgery for a patient who identifies as transgender or prescribing puberty blockers for a child with gender dysphoria. Both interventions are medically unnecessary, harmful, and infirm an anthropology that Christians know is wrong and destructive. With the badly worded question, which implies bigoted objections to serving people who identify as LGBTQ2 in any capacity whatsoever, opposition to conscience rights rises to 57% and support falls to 30% in this poll. And of those 30%, most likely saw through the badly worded question and tried to answer it as if it were more appropriately worded. Still, if Research Co. had asked a better worded question, in other words, on a moral or faith base objected to sex reassignment surgeries, they would have had very different results. The final question asked whether people would support or oppose a law to allow healthcare professionals have the ability to a moral or faith-based objection to providing services. In other words, are conscience rights important enough that the government should step in to protect them? On this question, just 38% of Canadians support such conscience rights, and 46% oppose. And the intensity of the opposition is much stronger than the intensity of support. 2.5 times as many respondents strongly oppose, 30%, as strongly support, 12%, such a measure. This is how far our first freedom has fallen. There are at least 3 possible reasons for the skepticism around conscience rights. One is simply that Canadians are growing more selfish and feel entitled to a healthcare procedure of their choosing, regardless of their doctor's beliefs. There's already a strong culture of medical entitlement in Canada. Our publicly funded healthcare system consistently ranks as a point of Canadian pride, despite how poorly the system functions at the moment. The Supreme Court rulings in Carter and Morgenthaler have often been interpreted to mean that Canadians have a right to euthanasia or abortion. So perhaps it shouldn't be surprising that Canadians want to force doctors to facilitate procedures against their will. So much for Canadian politeness. But the flip side is that Canadians simply don't care about or even understand the importance of conscience or how it is formed. Religion, as exemplified in most of the examples mentioned earlier in this piece, often informs and strengthens conscientious beliefs. Religion supports conscientious beliefs not only by surrounding an individual with like-minded individuals, but also asserting that there is a higher authority than the state that people are called to submit to. Thus, as religiosity has declined in Canada, so too has conscience. Or perhaps this is the teaching function of the law at work. As Canadian law permits abortion or euthanasia, same-sex marriage, or gender transitioning, many Canadians consider these activities as not only permissible, but morally good. Perhaps Canadians are looking to the state rather than their own conscience to know what is right or wrong, or, more precisely, that the state is shaping the conscience of its citizens. Such Canadians will increasingly look with incomprehension at those who still follow a different moral viewpoint informed by something other than the state. Regardless of the reason, Canadian skepticism of conscience should be concerning to any person who values personal integrity in the workplace. But it should be especially concerning to Christians who have strong religious and conscientious objections to abortion, euthanasia, and medical gender transitions. Without robust conscience rights to protect them, Christians will find it harder to practice in many areas of medicine. Family doctors are increasingly asked to prescribe the abortion pill and gender transitioning hormones. Surgeons, anesthesiologists, and operating room nurses will be asked to participate in sex-denying surgeries. Physicians and nurse practitioners in hospices or long-term care units will increasingly be asked to provide euthanasia. It is a sad day when Christians, who founded the first hospital centuries ago, find it hard to work in those same healthcare institutions in the 21st century.